You know, God is going to move us on. I believe more and more to body ministry. You know, and how do we get to body ministry? How do we get to body? How do we get to, you know, the holy place? The Lord was recently showing me in the tabernacle the step before the holy place. Can you help me, students, children? What is the step before the holy place? Huh? Not golden altar? Brazen laver it is. You are thinking before the Holy of Holies. Yeah, so actually you are right, but the question was different. So what is this, you know, how do we enter the dimension of working in a body is if we go baptized, if we get baptized. But I don't want to speak about baptism. I just want to briefly mention that the brazen laver is made out of brass, yes, that would be brazen laver. And can you give me some more detail? Yes, which were brazen, were not? Yes, they were brazen, you know, they were polishing the brazen mirrors. And, you know, if I link it with a word today, what are we talking today about? Not bowing to the
image.
You know, we are not to bow to the image. And the ladies, they have come and they have brought their brazen mirrors. And what is the brazen mirror representing? Huh? Image? Whose image? My image. And by the way, where, help me here, where the mirrors, were they silver? No? Because I have interpretation. If they were silver, it means you are looking at yourself through the eyes of redemption. That would be silver mirror, right? But they were not silver mirrors. So you are not looking at yourself with the eyes of redemption. What does it mean that they were brazen? Aha. You're looking at yourself through the eyes of judgment. Do you realize that? You know, the whole idea of an image, the whole idea of having an image is constant judgment. Amen? You are all the time looking at yourself and trying to perform, trying to please somebody, trying to look good, trying to not to look stupid, not to be stupid. I mean, before whom? God knows you. You know, you cannot pretend. God knows you. Whatever you do, whatever you think, God is there. God knows you before your hair is fixed in the morning. You know what I mean? God is there. So there's freedom. That before God, we don't need to pretend anything. Amen? But one of the things we struggle with, and it's related especially to your age. I would say especially to women, but maybe that's not really true. But especially to your age. Even that is not really true. Because I think everybody suffers. But, you know, the whole thing, how do I look? What do they think about me? Do I look stupid? Do I look right? You know, and all these things. And God is suggesting an offering, we give it up. In the baptism, as part of the baptism, as part of the mentality, is, you know, we give up all the concept of comparing, of judgment. You know, trust me, I appreciate that you stand here, you know. You play guitars, you do this. It's appreciated. I think everybody who ever was standing here, you know the pressure. Do I have the right song? Am I doing the right thing? Am I in the Lord? Am I tuned? Am I righteous enough? What about the things I struggle with? You know what I'm saying? And I want to, you know, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage ourselves. If we want to move on and work as a body, like with this song, we were able to help each other. You know, one of the things we have to give up is the constant looking at myself and constant self-judgment. You know, the devil is accuser of brethren. He will keep accusing you to you. He will keep accusing others to you. Amen. And he will be not allowing us to flow in forgiveness, flow in help, flow in support, and work together. If we keep constantly looking and trying to please somebody else. If I'm constantly trying to perform to somebody but God. You know, there is you and God. God knows you. Amen. So, I wanted to, this is kind of prelude. We would like to talk about other things in a minute. But I felt really impressed with this on my heart. Let's rebuke the devil. Let's rebuke the accuser of the brethren. Let's reject him. Let's reject all the image. And we will speak about the image in a minute more. But this will take us into the body ministry. This will take us that we can be together. You know, we don't need to pretend, perform. We can drop it. Because God sees us as we are. And this will give us the freedom. Amen. We were speaking about Daniel. We were speaking about the three boys not bowing to the image. Amen. Following a message the Lord put in our heart was from Esther. Esther was actually very much in a similar situation, wasn't she? Amen. So we really felt and believed that it would be the best if my wife is the one who speaks to you, our dear children, speaks to you about Esther and how Esther made her decisions whom to please.
I'm not used to such an audience.
In Czech, we always invite the children around. For your, it's the same, I know, but these teenagers are always at the back, you know, in Czech. So if I speak too simply, please forgive me, because I'm used to talking to the smaller children usually. Well, story of Esther starts with the big feast that the king Ahasuerus made for his counselors, his princes, his servants, and he was a king over one of the greatest empires that there ever was in the East area. And at one point he made a decision, and he wanted a queen, Vashti, to come before all the men with her beautiful robe and the royal crown to show what a beautiful wife he has. And you know the story well. What did Queen do? Queen Vashti refused and consequently lost her kingdom completely. So there was a lookout for a new queen, and they brought many maidens to the palace, and they underwent treatments for a whole year. I don't know what we were doing, probably some trainings and classes, beauty treatments, I don't know what they were all doing. And at the end of this period, each one of the maidens was brought before the king. And there is a peculiar thing that the Bible says. It says that they were allowed to take whatever they wanted to come before the king. Probably whatever dress they chose, whatever jewelry they picked, whatever perfume they wanted to have, or I don't know what. And among those maidens was one. Her name was Hadassah, and her Babylonian name was Esther. And she was different. And when she, or her time came, the Bible says in the second chapter of Esther that she took only what Haggai, the chief eunuch of the king, advised her to take. That was her choice. And it says that she was the one who pleased the king, and he chose her as a queen. So basically the message, I may erase this, basically the message that we are going to talk about is that the Esther said, it doesn't matter what I like. I will write it down. It doesn't matter what I like, but who? It doesn't matter what I like, but what the king likes. And I was thinking maybe we could go and the Bible might help us to learn much wisdom from this story if we compare these two ladies in this story. One will be Queen Vashti and Esther. So what were the qualities that the two ladies had? And I would like you to tell me. Okay. Proud. Okay. Yeah. She was proud. Pride. Okay. Okay. Then Esther was?
Humble.
Humility.
Okay. What else?
Miranda.
What do you think?
What was Queen Vashti? Vashti. Do you say Vashti or Vashti? What do you say? You say Vashti in English? Okay. What do you think? Okay, we've got counselors. Counsels going on.
Selfish.
Selfish. Okay. What else? We'll see.
Stubborn.
Yes.
Double B.
Stubborn. Okay.
Self-centered.
Self-centered. Okay.
Not obedient.
She was not obedient. Okay, so, okay, in English it's she was rebellious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
Double B?
No.
No. Disobedient. Okay. So, okay.
Self-cautious?
Well, I don't. She knew what she was doing. That's true.
Self-conscious.
What does it mean, self-conscious?
Thinking of themselves.
Aware of herself.
Aware of herself.
Something like that.
Okay. Okay. Anything else on Vashti? Lazy, you think? Okay. Okay, she didn't want to go. We could take it as a laziness. Okay. Okay, and how about, okay, anything else? Rude, yes. R-U-D-E. Okay. And now Esther. Okay. Go ahead.
kind.
Kind. Yes, she was kind, that's for sure. Okay, Brother Derek? Yes. Yes. Self-important, absolutely. Okay. You got so much on Vashti. Guess we know her well. How come? So close home. Okay, anything else on any one of those two?
Scared.
Scared? I don't agree with that one. I don't think Esther was scared. Okay.
Risky.
Risky. I think she was courageous. Okay, can I ask what? Courageous. She was wise.
Brave.
Miranda, you want to say one? She was nice, she was beautiful, wasn't she? It's very important. Yes? She was not selfish. Okay. I'll write that down later. Anything else?
She was
beautiful.
Loving. Okay, that was kind, loving. It would be the same. Okay, I thought when I was thinking about it, you know, I really got inspired by this little invitation that you all got. I would like to maybe look at it with you, if you have it by you. I believe Esther had faith, which was one of the first thing on the list. I believe she had humility. Some of you said it already here. I think, yes, she was submissive. I'll write that here. I think she was obedient. Sorry, Mishka. What's next? Can you read it? She had dedication and consecration. She was dedicated to the task she was given.
Strong and courageous.
And she was strong and courageous. You know, when I thought about the story, children, I realized that these qualities allowed her to be in the right time, in the right place, doing the right thing. She was called for such a time as this, and without these qualities, she would not meet the expectations God had for her. She would never have it. And allow me to say that you will never have it. You will never have it if you don't have these qualities she had. You will have a window of opportunity and you will miss it. So you remember the story Brother Barak said about the man that needed a prayer. And if Brother Barak at that moment would not be courageous and brave, he would be shy. He would never pray with the man. And the window of opportunity that he actually opened down on his car would be gone. And there would be nobody to pray with the man. And if Esther was not what she was, you know, she would not do the great task she was called to do. And so here is this big question. Here is this big question. Whom do you want to please? If it doesn't matter what you like, whom do you want to please? God. Okay. I'll make one more little chart here, okay? Whom do we want to please? You want to please God. I'd like to go back to the story of Esther. There was one thing that I would like to talk about particularly, and I will now make a little detour, and I will talk about the girls. The boys can listen, okay? We'll talk about the ladies, because there is a great lesson for the ladies. And that is, did we write obedience here? No. So she was obedient. I'll write it here. Obedience. Esther, I was thinking, you know, children, Do you think when if she would be called like Vashti, if she was called like Vashti, would she come? Would Esther come? What do you think? Yes, she would come. How do you know?
She was not like, she wasn't like Vashti.
She was not like Vashti.
She obeyed Mordecai when Mordecai told her.
Excellent. That's what I wanted to hear. She was obedient, and where did she learn it? She learned it when she was growing up with Mordecai. Mordecai was sort of, he was her cousin, right?
Yes.
But brought her up like an uncle, let's say, or stepfather, or whatever. And we know she was obedient to him. How do we know she was obedient to him?
She did what he told him. She did what he told her to do.
And what did he tell her to do?
Go to the king.
Okay. He told her to go to the king. Not to reveal who she was. She learned that obedience, and when he told her not a word about it, she understood it's a wisdom. And she had a quality. She was obedient. She loved it. She wanted to please her father, her uncle. So she learned it. It was a quality, the ability to listen, the ability to please. So then when she was brought and she had a choice to take whatever she wanted, like Daniel and the three boys, she was looking for the counsel again. She went to those who knew the king. Who else than his chief eunuch? And she asked him, she said, you know him, tell me what he likes, because it really doesn't matter what I like. I want to please him, so what is it that he likes? And he told her, and she listened carefully, and she did it. And that's a question for you, girls. You know, sometimes I hear the girls say, when I get married, I listen to my husband and I'll obey him. And I say, okay, how come? Oh, he will be so nice at me and it will be so easy. And I say, you think? Abigail, really? let me tell you a secret. If Esther would not, and I'm not saying if I'm saying it grammatically correct, if Esther didn't learn the obedience in her father's house, she would not obey the king. There is a certain order God has. We have in Czech, we have a little picture. I'll tell you what a picture we have for children in Czech. Everybody knows that. Okay, I'll write it here. Guess what?
Umbrella.
Okay, umbrellas. Okay, God is on the top. And God is the direct head, and we draw it like an umbrella, okay? For the man. Okay? And the man is the head for the woman, for the wife. So here is the wife. Okay, that's mommy with a skirt. And, okay, here down there under mommy and daddy are the children. Children. A boy, and a boy, and a girl, and a girl, and a boy. Okay, that's fine. So this is the, we call it a chain of command. Do you have a chain of command in an army? Okay, so it's something similar. And God honors this chain of command. And the Bible clearly tells us, you know the word pleasing somebody in Greek is specifically also written for the wives to obey their husband in a sense of pleasing him. So the woman who is not married, like you, is supposed to please God because now he is her direct chain of command. This doesn't exist here, so you are under God and you are supposed to guard yourself, your body and soul and spirit, to be holy. When you marry, the scripture says that the wife is to seek the things that please her husband. Okay? So you learn things he likes and you do it because that's honorable, that's right. And God will always honor it. But where do you learn it? You learn it with your father first, as Esther did. And, you know, if you think that you can be stubborn and disobedient and self-centered and whatnot in your family with your father and your siblings, and then all of a sudden get married and things will change and everything will become different and you will be the perfect wife ever lived, you know, you're wrong. That's not gonna work. Absolutely not.
You have to learn it in your father's house. Start right here.
I think in the army you also don't jump anywhere. You start down there.
And so I was looking into the Bible. I said, Lord, okay, I hear you asking me, whom do I want to please? And my answer is, I want to learn this. I want to please my husband. I really do. And I want to please you.
Yeah.
So, where do we go to find out what pleases God? Miranda, are you waving here? No, okay. Where did Esther go? Whom did Esther ask to find out what pleases the king? Esther. The eunuch. Yes. She went to the eunuch, the one who knows God the best. So, do you know whom the Haggai, the eunuch, represents?
The Holy Spirit.
Yes. How did you know that? I knew that. Yes. Yes. And we have the Bible. So I went to the Bible and I said, Lord, I would like to find all the scriptures that speak about things you like and you are pleased with. And I found out a very interesting thing. There is written what God is not pleased with, and there is written what God is specifically pleased with. There are more things, but there was one that I especially liked. Can anybody guess what it is that pleases the king the most? They chose that? Okay.
Galatians 5.
What did she say?
Galatians 5.
What is it there? What's in Galatians 5? The fruit of the Spirit. Interesting. But that's enough. Any other idea?
Obedience.
Mm-mm. It is specifically written that God is pleased in such a thing, and it's repeated in many verses. I was surprised. I didn't know that.
Love.
You're very close. Yes. No, love is very close. Love who?
Loving God.
And?
Loving your neighbor as yourself.
Okay, let's read it, okay? It's in the 1 Corinthians. This is what God likes. 1 Corinthians, okay, Corinthians 10, 33. Can anybody read it? Chloe, can you read it? You have such a pretty voice.
Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved.
Okay. What pleases the king is that you don't seek your own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That's what pleases the king. That's what pleases God. And this is actually encapsulated the story of Esther. There came a situation where her whole nation that she concealed from the king, she's part of, was in a great danger. And she was again faced with a choice. Will she seek her own profit, remain beautiful queen with a beautiful dress, with a golden crown on her head, having all the leisure and luxury of probably things we can't even imagine? Or will she seek the profit of many that they may be saved? What was her choice? Yes.
she chose to sacrifice herself for other people. You know, she risked the life. She didn't know if she's gonna live. You know, she understood that this was the task, and she had the quality in herself, the ability to love the people of God so much that she said, yes, I will. I will go and lay down my life for them. There are another scriptures, like in Romans 15:1 and other places. And, you know, it is written about Christ specifically. He did not please himself. So what God doesn't like is please self. Is it correct? Please self. Is it correct way to say it?
Okay.
Please self. What I want, like Queen Vashti, you know? This is Vashti. This is Vashti. Please self. I don't want to go. You know, sometimes I thought about the situation and I thought, it's so natural. She didn't want to go up front of this drunken man and whoever, you know, to expose herself. But this is what she didn't want to do. Have you ever been in situations when somebody asked you to do something you really didn't want to do? I mean, really? It was absolutely against your nature to do it, and you weren't asked to do it? You know? And yet, God is not pleased when you please self, but when you seek... How will you write it? How did I write it? Yes, I'm not going to please self.
But when we sacrifice ourselves for others.
And when she came before the king, she found the favor. And I like that very much. I believe this is what God wants to teach us. There is another scripture, the Romans 15:1. I would like to read that one. Ye who are strong, bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please yourselves. And I think this is something that can talk to your everyday life. Most of you have younger siblings, and they are younger, they are weaker, and they have many problems and infirmities, I'm sure. And you can train yourself to bear it, not to get upset over it, stubborn over it, and I don't know what, but to learn how to bear it in love and lay yourself down for others. I believe it's very, very important. And I believe it's one of the most important lessons that we can learn from the story of Esther, that we learn how to please those who are in the direct chain of command above us, in our authority. And what pleases God the most is when you don't please yourself, but you think about other people. Amen.
Linking it with what we are saying so far here, the previous days and today, God is looking for some kind of people. He's looking for the people who will freely decide to be royal. Amen? And together with being royal, you have two sides. Things that you will get, things that you obtain, things you achieve if you wish, but also things that are demanded. Amen? And here you have the two women. You have Vashti and you have Esther. Now, it's not something that we are putting on this board and it's theoretical. We will not hold it long today because I know you're tired. But tell me, practically, few things that you can do to practice being Esther and to overcome Vashti's spirit. And I don't care if you're women or men. Tell me, what are the things? Where is your training ground? How does it work with you in your lives?
Don't pick on your siblings.
Don't pick on your siblings. It's, you read about people who do, right? I know. You know, I do appreciate that answer, because this is exactly what I'm after. You know, sometimes, and I call it religion, you know, we sit in the church, we hear all this, and we say amen, it makes sense, then the meeting is over, 5 minutes later, we do exactly the opposite of what the word said. So picking on your siblings, you know, this is your training ground. You will be faced with a choice, and you will be tested tonight. If not tonight, tomorrow morning. You know, how do I treat my sibling? Okay, very good answer. So picking on siblings, what else? Yes?
Obeying your parents.
Obeying your parents. Okay, let me explain to you what obeying parents means. The parents, they tell you, do this, or eat this, or wear this. You judge it for yourself. Do I agree or I don't agree? And if you agree, you do as they say. No? Yes? Some people go, oh, yes. Well, this is the Vashti form of obedience. The king comes and says, Vashti, I want you to come now and present yourself before me and before my people. Honestly, I've heard discussions whether it was appropriate, it was not appropriate, was he drunk, he wasn't drunk, was he right, was he wrong, you know. But the Bible doesn't care. It did not matter. You know what I'm saying? It does not matter. But Vashti formed her own opinion. You know, it is not appropriate now. I will be hurting the crown. The king is kind of wrong. The parents are wrong. You know, my daddy is now upset. He's telling me in bad spirit. Sometimes the children would say, well, yes, but you should tell me this way. Really? You know, yes, it's my business. I need to go before God and calm down. But regardless of that, maybe I struggle with attitude, but it's not your business. You know what I mean? It didn't matter whether the king was kind, whether he was right, whether he was exactly properly, you know, whether it was the timing. The king is calling you, so you better pick up yourself, forget your party, and appear before the king. So obedience of parents is, it's very simple. You don't need to form your opinion whether you agree or disagree. You know what I mean? So let me push it even further. You should not only obey your parents, you should seek what pleases them.
Yeah.
Ooh. Like Esther did. It was not only that the king told her, wear this, before he even had a chance to tell her anything. She had a mentality, I would like to wear what the king likes. So I need to find out. So you should go to your parents actively, actually, and say, how would you like me to dress? What would you like me to do? Where would you like me to go? What would you like me to say? What can I do? Where can I help? How would you want me to behave? You know what I'm saying? So you will have a lot of opportunities the next hours and days. I'm sure. What else? Now you're afraid to say anymore, huh? What else do you see is a training ground where you can learn to be like the boys, the three boys, or Esther?
Choose someone.
Joseph.
School.
School. What about school?
The training ground to obey your teachers.
Obey your teachers?
Or if you're in school, the parents are teaching you.
Okay. Do your chores and do your things. Okay, good. Let me mention one more, and this is pleasing self or laying down your life for others. You know, teenagers, the people you're sitting here, you have your own agendas, don't you? You would love to have your program. You know what I mean? It's nice to have friends, like here or somewhere else. But now you're asked to take care of your sibling. Now you're asked to do something, but it's kind of going against your program. Well, Dad, Mom, we had this little meeting. We wanted to discuss. You know, we are talking about the things of the Lord. And I need to do this, and I need to do school, and I need to do mine, and you know, all these things. But the Lord is saying, well, you volunteered. You wanted to train. Now is the time. Now is the time to decide. And this is where, how do you say it in English, where the rubber meets the road? Yeah, this is the reality. You know, this is the reality check where we are deciding, what do I do? But let me push it even further, if I may. And just a little bit. There is a lot of things you do and you like to do, and you feel this is your world. Your little world. Very little sometimes. Sometimes smaller, medium, or bigger. Amen? You know, the devil is playing one trick on us. And this is, he wants to have your mind. He wants to educate you. He wants to influence you. And he's using this channel, whether it's mobile, whether it's this type of phone, whether it's this or that. You know, in the evening, you go to your room and you bring everything in. Seemingly, you're alone, but you're not alone. You have everything with the ability to flood in. You know, this is where you decide. Bless you. This is where you decide. This is the time where all the theory from here now is waiting for you, and the whole heaven is waiting. How do you apply it? Will you overcome? You know what I mean? So, what I'm suggesting tonight, before we dismiss you, what I'm suggesting, you go to bed, you go home. I will definitely leave the thing behind. Actually, they made it easy because there's no signal there, I believe. So this is making the life easier, in a way, isn't it? Yeah. That you can't click, or actually you can click, but it says nothing, you know. But I really mean it. You know, we will not be able to grow. We will not be able to be what God called us to be. We will not be able to overcome all the images. We will not be able to overcome it if constantly our mind is occupied with the things of the world and with all the busyness. God needs your mind idle for a while. And idle doesn't mean idle. Idle means tuned to Him. God would like to talk to you, but you are way too busy. And we are too. You know, we have the same overcoming. But if we want to put it in practice, if we want to do something, we need to make certain commitments. And I would like you to go home before God and bring before Him all these things. Lord, I want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to be like Daniel. I want to be like Esther. What are the things you want me to lay down? And I can guarantee you, if there is nothing you lay down, you will make no progress. You will be exactly the same tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. Amen. Unless there is sacrifice, unless there is change, unless there is something you change in your life and you lay down, you will not be able to grow. And we have gathered here, I believe, voluntarily with a decision we want to grow. Amen. Who wants to grow? So, go before God and ask Him, Lord, what pleases You? What pleases You, my King? And tell me, what do You want me to lay down? What do You want me to change in my life? And unless you have a question, I will dismiss the meeting. Any questions? Anything which is not clear? Okay. So God bless you. Have a good night. And have a good talk with the Lord. Amen.